Please be seated. Blessed day to each one of you. Lots going on in the world, lots going on in our heads, lots going on in our lives. And what we want to do is we're going to continue our series on Love Is. We want to talk about today what love is and what it isn't. I don't know what you associate with love. What do you associate with someone says, I love you, or I love this? Well, there's a variety of answers to that question. In the reading today that Kevin read a little bit ago, we want to hear these words that love is not just something that is spoken or uttered in speech, but love shows itself in actions and in truth. I've mentioned this before, but just doing premarriage counseling, I talk to the guys and gals a little differently because men and women have different needs and different expectations at times in what a relationship is. But one thing I like to emphasize that for women, particularly, don't just tell me you love me, show me you love me. This idea, if you're going to take out the trash, if you say you're going to take out the trash, all right? Now, you might have a different schedule, all right? The guy says, I'm going to take out the trash after the news. And she say, well, no, I say take out the trash right now. All right, y'all will have to work that out, all righty? But the point is that actions matter. Actions matter. And what we want to talk about today is an action in a loving action, and that is boldness. We want to say love is bold. All right, it acts. And it's in that spirit, I want to share just a little bit about an experience I had a number of years ago with a teenager and talking and visiting some issues in the family. And she said, my mother doesn't love me. I mean, that was pretty bold to be in a situation where you can say that out loud. Because a lot of times what's in our heart we don't say out loud. But anyway, okay, my mother doesn't love me. All right, well, you got to do something with that. So I said, okay, well, tell, your mom's right here, tell us some things that go through your mind that make it in your heart a truth that mom doesn't love me. And she said, she lets me do anything I want. She lets me do anything I want. And that says to me she doesn't love me. She says, as a matter of fact, and these are not real names, obviously, I prefer to go over to Sue's house because Sue's mother says, Sue, you need to be home by 10. Sue, turn off the TV. You got to get your homework done. If it's not done and you show up in school tomorrow, that's not going to be a good deal. And so this young woman who, and the family that was in the office, she said, Mom, you let me do anything. I could come home at 2 o'clock, and you sometimes get home at 3, Mom. I could get home at 2 o'clock, and you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care if I was dead on the curb. So the point is that love is not always doing exactly and letting people do exactly what they want to do. As a matter of fact, there's a phrase called tough love. Some of you might be familiar with it. Bold love, at times loving someone, is sharing or telling them what it is that you believe needs to happen in order that disaster doesn't unfold or crises can be dealt with. As a matter of fact, tough love, it's the promotion of a person's welfare. The promotion of a person's welfare, particularly an addict or a child, regardless of age, or of a, quote, criminal, someone that's violated the law. I guess we just confessed that, didn't we, Pam? Folks, do you see yourself in there? I see myself in there. In other words, there's time when tough love is needed. Why? It enforces certain constraints and calls in a way a person to take responsibility for their own actions. You see, that's one thing we do in confession. I don't have to confess. I could say, all right, well, let me tell you, Lord, what Melissa, my wife's Melissa, all right? Let me tell you about her. No. Bill, take responsibility for yourself, which is a sign also of maturity. All righty, so a tough love. Now, tough love people associate with mean love. That is, those are not synonyms. Tough has to do with taking a position. Tough has to do with training someone, and at times people that train us. Could be a coach, could be in the military, could be the supervisor, could be the journeyman electrician, and we're the apprentice. That at times will come on strong. No, don't hook it up like that. You're going to fry yourself. You know, tough. Now, why would he say that? Well, I would assume there's some concern for the person that may wire it wrong and trip a switch and not be able to, and his kids are going to be orphaned that day. In other words, tough love is not mean. It's not brutal. I'm not talking here about being abusive verbally, and certainly not in any way. But tough love is saying, because I love you, this is what needs to happen. This is what you need to look at. And perhaps you've had people in your life, and this is where it's important to be honest, that have shared with you something. I know it's happened to me. Someone says, you really need to look at this. It could be, and these are really awkward situations, aren't they? At times in friendships where when we're together and we go out as several couples, you just have this edge. You put her down just like she can't do anything right. That's not going to be good for your marriage. Or when we're together, all you do is badmouth your husband. And that can't be good for your marriage. Or have you seen how when you talk with that tone of voice, your child just cringes? I mean, you know, someone that loves you will share that. Someone that could care less is going to say, well, let's have another drink, no big deal. So this idea of tough love and bold love is a love that calls us to look at ourselves under the light of God's mercy and grace and truth, and to move in ways that by His grace will move us toward relational health and spiritual health and Christ-like service. Now, in the gospel reading that Pastor read just a little bit ago, we see the account, and it's in your worship folder, and I invite you to take this material home, as I noted. But let's go ahead and look in your worship folder on page 2 in the gospel reading, John. Let's look in Scripture here. At dawn, Jesus appeared in the temple courts where all the people gathered, and they gathered around. They're listening to Jesus. He's teaching them. Teachers of the law, Pharisees, brought in a woman caught in adultery. Caught in adultery. You know what it means to be caught in adultery? It's kind of like they had a private eye taking pictures. Hey, here are the pictures. It was even more than that. They didn't have a camera, so there was a physical observation of adultery. And they drag her in. And they say, Jesus, we caught her. Of course, the guy ran away probably. And what should we do? It says in our law, and Jesus, you know, we have to obey the law, that we should stone her to death. I mean, you get someone like that in the community, and no telling whose husband she's going to make a move on next. So we got to get rid of her, and it was brutal. Just get her out. Well, if he says, yeah, and stone her. Then the Pharisees could say to other people, you're following Jesus? Look at what a brute he is. If he would say, on the other hand, let's just let her go, then he would be accused of, quote, not obeying the law. So they tried to put him in a no-win. Of course, Jesus is never, ever going to lose a no-win. He's going to always come out of that triumphant. So they made her stand before the group. Can you imagine the humiliation of that? She probably wasn't well-dressed either, just having caught her in adultery, right? They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses commanded us to stone her. What do you say? It says Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with a finger. We have no idea what he wrote. Verse 7. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, All right. Let's do this. Anyone who would like their life projected on the screens, anyone without sin, anyone whose thoughts will be made known, anyone whose activities in the lightness of the dark are going to be revealed. All right, anyone who is clean, who has no sin, he said, I want you to go ahead and pick up the rock. Heft the rock. Let it fly. Hit her right between the eyes. Watch her slump to the ground. Go ahead. Well, we know what happened. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time. They just start flaking off. Starting with the oldest. And then it's just Jesus. And let's give her a name. Let's say her name is Miriam. Everyone's gone. Jesus and Miriam. And he says, well, where are the people that were accusing you? Well, they're gone. And he says, yes. And then he says, and I'm not here to condemn you either. And then he says something that was, in a way, tough, bold love. He says, Miriam, go and sin no more. Miriam, I need to say this to you. Now, does that mean that after this, she kind of floated 4 inches off the ground and was this angelic being? Does it mean she never struggled in a double take with someone that she felt, oh, tempted, that someone could meet a need I have? You mean, was she numb emotionally after this? Of course not. What is he saying? He's saying, Miriam, I need to tell you this. Do you ever want to be in this position again? Do you ever want to be shamed and humiliated like this again? Do you ever want to be drugged into a group of people that have, quote, the authority to beat you to death with rocks? Miriam, do you want to live like that? What do you think she'd say? Well, what do I need to hear? Okay? What do you and I need to hear? Well, there is something in all of our lives we need some tough love. In other words, a word from the Lord spoken in love, not spoken to condemn, to accuse, to abuse, to in any way threaten us to the point of death. He says, what do you and I need to hear that would be, quote, tough? In other words, it's something we might not want to hear. We don't want to hear it, but it's the truth. Okay? It's the truth. Not about someone else, but about each one of us. And we need to listen, because by nature, as it says in Jeremiah, our heart is deceitful above all things. What does that mean? It means I can rationalize most anything. In other words, I can say to myself, I have a reason for doing that. It's not my fault. If you were in my shoes, given how I was raised, based on previous experience, hey, I don't need to hear that. I don't want to hear it. It doesn't affect me. But you see, love is bold. And God's love for us in Christ is a bold love that says, I want you to be honest with me. And I want you to hear the truth of my mercy and grace. I want you to know that you are like everyone else in some way in this. That there are issues and struggles and concerns in your life that I want to speak into that issue, that pattern, that addiction, that, quote, violation of my law that will not destroy you. But I want to speak a word of truth that this is something you need to look at. And not just to look at, but to ask the power of the Holy Spirit and of my presence to walk me through that, even if it takes years. We're going to walk through this. Because in my head, hey, I don't have a problem. Except, perhaps hearing in that word of truth, perhaps from a friend, who you say you are and what you show me are two different things. In other words, just whatever it is. I don't know what it is. But the Lord knows. And in His mercy and grace, He says, you come to me. We do that in our heritage here at Bethany and in the Lutheran, our Lutheran heritage, and other heritage as well, obviously. We confess our sins. We say, Lord, this is where I need your mercy, your grace, your healing, your the balm of your healing salve of forgiveness and strength. Yeah, that's God loves you and me too much to just let us go our own way. He loves us too much to wink at a pattern that is destructive and say, no big deal. Girls will be girls, boys will be boys. In His mercy and grace, He says, you bring that to me and trust that I'm saying this to you because of the depth of my love. And as it says in this great passage in 1 John, this is how we know what love is. This is how we know what love is. Christ Jesus laid down His life for us. That was bold. He didn't just wave a wand. He went to the cross. He experienced the reality of physical death, and upon Him would place the sins of the world. That's tough love. Except He absorbed the toughness. Now, next thought. What about someone in your life or mine that we truly believe needs some, quote, tough love? Okay? Well, there's a beautiful psalm verse that I memorized when I was a little kid. Create in me a clean heart, O God. All right, so there's someone in your life that needs some tough love, that needs a word of truth, where you need to cut through what appears to be at times a happy face or a great life, but there's something that you're deeply concerned about. All right, first of all, create in me a clean heart. What does that mean? Motivation. Why am I saying this to her or to him? Is it because I want to even the score? I want to be in control? Is it because I'm still so angry I could spit? I mean, what is it? wait, say, Lord, give me a clean heart. I'm doing this because I love that person. I'm concerned about her spiritual life. I'm concerned about his physical life. I'm concerned about their family life. I'm concerned about his relational life. If that is the concern, go for it. If in fact, oh, I just want to point out the faults, hey, take some time. Lord, give me a clean heart. Lord, create in me a clean heart. So that the words I speak are words spoken in love. Because speaking the truth without love can eviscerate a person. Speaking about love without speaking the truth can completely miss the mark in terms of making a difference. There's also a great passage. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Then also this passage from Ephesians 4, which is a great, great chapter. Speaking the truth in love, let us grow up in every way into Him who is, and mature in Him who is Christ. Speaking again, the truth in love, truth and love. Love without truth is brutal, or love without truth is squishy. Truth without love is mean. Well, but let's speak the truth in love. Remember, clean heart, love. I see in this person someone who Jesus loves. I see someone who I love, someone that I would not ever want to see destroyed, not ever want to see go down a road that all 99% is going to be a dead end. And then it says that we might mature or grow into Him who is the head, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working together, properly promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love as each does its part. See, this is the kind of the rhythm of a community, whether that's husband and wife, whether that's mother and child, whether that's co-worker, whatever it is, certainly in the congregation, because that's what Paul's talking about here, the body of Christ. Speak the truth in love, as God has spoken His truth, that He's come to save sinners, that He's come to redeem the world, to buy back the world from destruction and darkness and death. So, may we have ears to hear the words of a gracious God about who we are and about who Jesus is. And Jesus is the Savior, the Rescuer of the world. And His love is tough in terms of it's not squishy. It is substantive. And it is powerful. And it looks death in the face and puts death in the grave. And His love endures forever. Praise God. To Him be the glory. Amen.